an awesome thing. I was just telling the Lord as we were worshiping, you may be seated. I cannot even imagine a day in my life without having a God like Him. He stabilizes everything. He encourages all good things. He modifies and tempers all bad things. I just cannot imagine having a life without an anchor that has vitality and strength. I also was reminded in the Spirit what an awesome weapon you have, because the Spirit you felt as we worship the Lord the last 15, 20 minutes is available to you when you face things that are bigger than you. And when the Bible said stir up the gift, you stir up a spirit that hell can't handle. When you're facing a crisis, praise the name of the Lord. When you're going through a crisis, remember what happened on Sunday night, that as we praised God, we stirred up angelic forces. And that is something that unbelievers can't do. You have the authority to enter into the courts of the kingdom and bring the king's name and the signature of his signet. It's phenomenal. Tonight we're blessed to have Brother and Sister Bridges with us. I'd like for her to testify first. Well, can you sit there and testify? She's holding my great-grandson, and I don't want her to wake him up.
It's always such a pleasure and privilege to be able to be here with you all. And as I was thinking about family today, I was thinking about how you have, you know, a natural family that you're born into, and then you have a family that you choose to put yourself in because you choose Christ. And I was thinking about today how I'm so incredibly thankful that I am a part of the family of God, and I'm so incredibly thankful for a pastor and a pastor's wife that preach and teach truth and love. They have got more patience and more long-suffering than anyone on earth that I know. And they have worked with me, mentored me, loved me, taken me in and treated me like family. And I owe my life to them. And I want you both to know how much I love and appreciate you. And I still call them regularly. And I just want you all to know that I love each and every one of you, and it makes me so happy to come home and to see all the new faces and all of the old faces, old not in age, but old in length of time that you've been here. And I just love this parish church so, so much. Such an honor to be with my pastor and my pastor's wife.
Praise God. And she has taken the love and character of so many of you into the wintry lands of Wisconsin. And she has loved this man. And he has responded and loved her as Christ loved the church and gives himself for her daily. And we are very appreciative. He also, she and him are raising up a people in Wisconsin that are warming even the frigidness of that area. It gets cold up there where them Green Bay Packers play. And he loves this truth. I've watched him bend and bow before God, and I enjoy bringing men like that to minister to you that bow down to a holy God and give him a place in their world of leadership. God bless you, Brother Bridges. Let's stand and make him welcome to this pulpit, if you would.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's worship the Lord tonight, can we? Amen. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for what you mean to us, Lord. You never ever, ever. Amen. We're never without him. Praise God. Good to be here in Paris, Texas tonight. I'm thankful for the 40, 50 degree weather. I'm told that it's minus 11 at home without wind chill. And I have to go back. So, well, maybe not. No, I have to go back. So good to be here. Gotten to know many of you, and the Paris Church is just a wonderful, wonderful church filled with many kind and godly people. And my wife said it probably better than I can. She's been here connected to this church much longer, and she knows how many of you are, but words cannot express our gratitude toward Brother and Sister Meyer. And I hope that you know what you have in a pastor and a pastor's wife. I do. I really hope that you know. And if you don't know, you need to make it a goal of yours, amen, to get to know them and truly appreciate what you have as a pastor. Amen. They're awesome. Amen. Words cannot express how I feel about them. And I've said it many times that he is the greatest example that I have as a Christian. He loves everyone. He's a fair man. And I've even said this to my church. I do have mentors in my life, mentors that I call to bounce things off of, and your pastor is one of them. And sometimes I don't want to call him because I know that I might hear something that I don't want to hear. But I still hit those digits on my phone because I know what he is going to say is going to be right. And many times he doesn't give me the direct answer. He makes me use the Holy Ghost within me to find my way. But he does steer me in the right direction, and I'm thankful for that. And to sum it up, I think all of you would say that he makes you a better person, doesn't he? Amen. I'm thankful for that today. Praise God. We should never be without someone that can speak into our life, and I'm thankful for him. Amen. It's my wife's birthday today. Today is her birthday. Happy birthday, sweetie. I sure do love her, and I don't tell her enough. Let's sing it. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you, and the best year you ever had. That's the church one, isn't it? Did you guys want to sing the non-church one? I looked out and I saw people going, "What in the world are you singing?" Amen. So let's sing the traditional one. Can we do that? To you, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Tara. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Praise God. She is a wonderful, wonderful wife. I honestly couldn't ask for a better one. That is in all sincerity. She is a godly lady, and I'm thankful for her. Praise God. And she also makes me a better person. Praise God. Amen. I do have something from the Lord tonight. And I certainly don't want to just leave you with a piece of my personality. But I want to leave you with something that God has given to me that you can receive and help you to be the person that he wants you to be. Amen. We're going to turn to a very familiar passage tonight. Many of you probably have this one scripture memorized, but if you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. As you're turning to that scripture, do you not know that we are a people of purpose? Look at your neighbor and say, you're a person of purpose. Amen. Praise God. We have a purpose that's not of this world. We have a purpose that is of another world. And God has placed us here, amen, to be that person of purpose to advance his kingdom. Amen. I heard a statement a few weeks ago, and it said this: be where you're at when you're there. Amen. Be where you're at when you're there. You know, sometimes we can just go through life, amen, very superficial, right? We can just be somewhere where we're really not there. And oh, how important it is to understand that you and I must live intentionally. God's people should not do anything by accident. When I get up in the morning, I must remember that I am a person of purpose. And wherever I am at, I need to be there. Amen. I need to be there to glorify, amen, the name of God. Amen. I need to glorify Jesus in everything that I do. Praise God. I wonder how many of you in life you have. I wonder if you're just wondering what that garbage can's for, right? Anybody wondered? There's not a leak or anything. How many of you in life, you've just kind of missed it? I've got, no, please, just leave that right there. I was just going to say it. I'm going to call this guy Tom Smits. Hi, Tom. I've got a guy in my church that he is a clean freak. We call him Mr. Clean. And anytime I do stuff like that, he is just squirming in his pew. He cannot stand it. One time I was preaching and I deliberately broke a picture, not a photograph, but a vase. Broke it. I don't think he got anything out of my message. All he could do is, all he was doing in his mind was vacuuming and sweeping and cleaning. But how many of us in life, we've just missed it. Anybody? I'm just wondering. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. The Bible says, if you're there, say amen. If you're not there, say, oh, me. All right. Everybody's there. The scripture reads, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Everybody say, new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. Can we put our Bibles down? Can we put our smartphones down, our dumb phones down? Amen. Can we just put them down? And can we just, right now, before we hear the word of God, can we just ask God himself? Can we just talk to him and ask him to speak to us personally, individually, and recognize that there's something tonight for me? Can we do that? Father, thank you for this opportunity, God, to stand before your people. Thank you for the word of God. I thank you for this church. God, I thank you for the spirit that we felt here tonight. I pray that you anoint every mind and every heart. God, we want to receive something from you, Lord. We want to receive something in Jesus' name. Help us, God, to have a fertile heart in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you shake somebody's hand around about you? Would you tell somebody you appreciate them? Tell somebody they look good? Amen. Tell somebody you love them? Amen. Isn't God great? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. You can be seated. An elderly teacher with a pupil by his side took a walk through a forest. Suddenly he stopped and pointed to four plants close at hand. The first was just beginning to peep above the ground. The second had rooted itself pretty well into the earth. The third was a small shrub, while the fourth was a full-size tree. The tutor said to his young companion, "Pull up the first plant." The boy did so eagerly, using only two fingers. "Now pull up the second." The youth obeyed, but found the task a little bit more difficult. He said, "Do the same to the third," he urged the boy. The boy had to use all of his strength to uproot it. "Now," said the instructor, try your hand at the fourth. The pupil put his arms around the trunk of the tall tree and couldn't even shake its leaves. This, my son, is just what happens with our bad habits. When they are young, we can remove them readily. But when they are old, it's hard to uproot them, though we pray and struggle ever so sincerely. You see, the chains of habit are generally too small to be felt until they are too strong to be broken. I want to say that again. The chains of habit are generally too small to be felt until they are too strong to be broken. Someone said bad habits are like comfortable beds, easy to get into, but hard to get out of. I wonder if there's anybody here that you know what January 12th of this year represented. January 12th. What did that day represent? January 12th, just 15 days ago, represented the day that most Americans cast aside their New Year's resolutions and have gone back to their old way of living. Couldn't even make it 2 weeks, statistically. People cast aside their New Year's resolutions 12 days into the new year. You see, habits, good or bad, we've all got them. Habits, good or bad, we've all got them tonight. I'd like to entitle my thoughts this evening, New Year, New You. New Year, New You. Now, I'm not much about making New Year's resolutions myself. However, I am all about change and working on myself to be a better person. Anybody here? Not all about New Year's resolutions, but you are about change. I don't always succeed on changing what I want to change about myself, but I still believe that I can. I still try to start each day with a renewed state of mind to accomplish what I set out to do. I wonder if there's somebody here today, somebody here this evening, amen, you know that you want to change something in your life. You know that you've been trying hard, and you know tonight, amen, that you need the presence and the power of God to make that change. Amen. I want to say something tonight that'll help you. I want to say something tonight that can encourage you. Amen. To make that move. Amen. To that change. Amen. To that notion, that idea. Amen. To that change that will make a difference in your life. Hallelujah. If we're going to change anything about ourselves, we've got to have an attitude change. Amen. We've got to have that attitude of I think I can. You remember that child story of the little train that could. Amen. We've got to have that idea. We've got to have that attitude of I think I can. We've got to have the want to. Oh God, I pray tonight that there's somebody here that will desire a change, that you and I will hope for. Amen. God's spirit to move. Amen. That he will be that difference maker tonight, that I, amen, in this new year can have a new me. Hallelujah. What can you and I do if we struggle with bad habits like eating too much, indulging in too much screen time, neglecting exercise, not praying, reacting with anger or profanity, forgetting to seek God's will daily, or a host of other patterns that negatively affect our lives? You and I must remind ourselves that it always starts with seeking God's help. Amen. There's a lot of distractions in our world today, but the church must know tonight that if you're going to change your life, if you're going to change your attitude, if you're going to change the direction that you are going, it will start with you and I seeking after the face of God, removing everything off of our agenda, amen, and saying, God, I've got to make you highest priority in my life. Hallelujah. We're looking at a new year, and this new year, amen, needs to bring about a new you. Can I get an amen? Praise God. I seek for God. I must seek for God with all of my heart. You see, change is hard. And essential changes can only be made with God's help. God sees the struggles that you and I face, and He encourages us to come to Him for that extra help that we need daily. Matthew chapter 7 and verses 7 and 8 says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Change is hard, but the Bible declares if we seek, amen, for God, we can find Him. Amen. If we need change, if you desire change, you gotta start, amen, on your knees before God. You've gotta realize that it's God that's gonna be the difference that you and I need today, amen, tomorrow, to make the changes that are necessary, amen, to fulfill His will in our life. Hallelujah. Ask and it shall be given you, the Bible says. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Hallelujah. How many times? How many times? I just don't want to be up here and preach, amen, just to be heard, be here and leave. But I really do want to leave an everlasting impression upon somebody tonight. You be either young or old. I want to help you. I want to move you toward, amen, your spiritual goal. I want to help somebody advance spiritually. I know tonight that there's some young person here, amen, that you want to be more than what you are, amen, but you're shooting, amen, for the goal, and you seem to miss it every time. I know there's a mom and a dad that want to be a better example to their children. You want to make an impact, and you're missing it every time. Oh, come on, somebody, hear me tonight. I know there's somebody here. Amen, has a desire to do and to please the Lord, and you want to do better, you want to make a greater impact in your life and for the kingdom of God, but you seem to miss it. Oh, I look at my life and I see so many times I've missed it. I've seen so many times that I've almost made it. I've missed it by a mile, or I missed it by an inch. Amen. But the Bible says, amen, the Bible says, ask, seek, and knock. Amen. We got to ask, we got to seek, and we got to knock. You see, coming to God daily, hear me, somebody, coming to God daily will reinforce our faith in Him. I'll tell you what, I've got faith when I go to Walmart, when I go to the grocery store, when I go to the men's clothing store. Amen. I always look for that closest parking spot. Amen. I've got a little bit of faith, right? Amen. We seem to keep going for the front doors. That's just a little bit of faith. And the Bible says that all we need is faith as a mustard seed. Amen. A mustard seed is a tiny, tiny seed. If somebody, amen, could just get a flicker of faith tonight, amen, you could turn your life around. You could see the change that you've been wanting to see, amen, for months, years, and perhaps your lifetime. Oh, but preacher, I've heard hundreds of sermons. I've heard thousands of sermons, and I keep missing it. I keep missing it by a mile. I want to change. There's a new year. It's 2019. Did we ever think it would be 2019? Did we ever think? Coming to God daily reinforces our faith in Him and shows humility, which is needed for God to shower His favor upon us. Remember, I want you to note this. God will not do for us what we can do for ourselves. God will not do for us what we can do for ourselves. But you might say, oh, but preacher, I've tried over and over and over again. I'm hoping tonight, by the time I'm done, that I can say something, that I can encourage you to keep going forward, that I can say something, amen, that you can recommit, that you can hold fast to hope, that you can make up your mind tonight, that you know the way, you're going to go the way, and you're going to show the way to somebody else. God will not do for us what we can do for ourselves. But he will do for us. Hear me. But he will do for us when we cannot do for ourselves. Hallelujah. That's the difference. Amen. He does expect us to do something. He does expect us when our feet hit the ground. Amen. He does expect us to do what we can do. And then when we, amen, get to the place where we've done what we can do, that's when God, amen, engages his power. That is when God shows himself. He reveals himself. If you and I can simply believe, if you and I can simply trust, oh, but I go to church. But I try. I'm here to tell you, keep praying. Keep doing what's right. Keep doing your part. Keep moving forward. Keep reinforcing your faith and prayer. Keep humbling yourself before God. You and I must come before him and ask him. We must seek for what we need changed. And we need to pray to that end. There's nothing God desires more than to help you and I. There's nothing that he wants to do more than to help us change our life. There's nothing that God wants to do more than help us to hit the target, to help us to make it, to help us to succeed, to help us to do his will. There is nothing God desires more than to help us to change, to turn our lives around, to empower us to do better, to better ourselves, to be more righteous, and to do his perfect will. God will not give us, you know, God's not going to give us everything we ask for. Did you know that? Why? Why is that? Because many things that you and I would ask for are not his will for our lives. But you see, if you and I seek for those things that matter to him, I'm here to help somebody. Amen. I keep missing. I keep trying. Oh, don't ever stop trying. Don't ever stop trying. Oh, we don't ever want to run anybody away. I'm thankful if you're here tonight and all you do is come to church. That is okay. You're welcome here because as long as you're here, as long as you're under the presence and the power of God, all you got to do is keep trying. All you got to do is you got to keep trying. You got to keep throwing. You got to keep giving yourself. As long as you're here, there can still be a miracle. As long as you're here, there can still be a new you. Can somebody say amen tonight? God, help me. Help me, God, tonight. I've got to ask. I've got to seek. I've got to knock. Amen. God's not going to give me everything that I want because everything that I want is not in his will. But if you and I seek for those things that matter to him, I want to help somebody. If you want to hit the target, keep asking, amen, keep asking for his will. Amen. Say, okay, God, I may not know everything. I may not ever have everything figured out. But God, if I make your business my business, you're going to make my business your business. That is why the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, God wants to be a God that blesses. God wants to be a God that even gives us what we want. But what you want and what I want first must be seen in seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I believe with my whole heart, amen, that God will begin to bless us. Amen. When we make his business our business. Is there anybody here that wants to, hey, you want to hit the target? Anybody here in this new year, you want to be a new you? Amen. You want to begin to make a difference? You want to begin to succeed? Amen. When it comes to spiritual things, you want to be advancement. You want there to be some sex successes. You want to, amen. I know we try. We try. Oh, I'm going to try. I'm going to try. Oh, I'll keep trying. I'll keep trying. 1 Peter chapter 5, 6 and 7 says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You got to ask, you got to seek, and you got to knock. But I've not been hitting the target. That's okay. That's okay. You're going to hit it. You know, you're going to hit it now and then. Amen. We're going to hit it. We're going to...
we're going to do it. From now and then, we're going to make it. Man, there's going to be some times that, man, I'm going to have a good week. I'm going to have a good month. There's going to be a great year. Amen. But as Brother Meyer said this morning, there's things, amen, growth comes, amen, in seasons and times, right? It's been a great year, but this year hasn't been so great. I haven't had a great year in a long time. I'm here to tell somebody, amen, keep trying. Yeah, there's a new year, but there can be a new you, hallelujah. I'm not going to stop seeking God. I'm not going to stop seeking change. Amen. Humble yourselves, therefore, to the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting, the Bible says, all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Somebody here needs to hear this. Humble yourself. Humble yourself by living a life that pleases God. Humble yourself with a life that pleases God. Sometimes there's going to be sacrifices that I have to make. Oh, God, help me. I want to be a disciple. I want to please you. I want to honor you. If that's going to happen, then we've got to be obedient to the disciples' creed, right? The Bible says, deny oneself, take up your cross, and follow me. Oh, I don't want to do that. Oh, come on. Amen. There's going to be sacrifice. He's asking something from you. Amen. He's expecting something from you. God is not going to do for you what you can do for yourself. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you, the Bible says. Humbling ourselves before a living God. Amen. Wanting a life that pleases God, casting all my cares upon him. Amen. Somebody look at your neighbor. Amen. Right now and say, new year, new you. Amen. New year, new you. Hallelujah. Today's a new day. So let's live for him and make a commitment to change. Amen. We will not start to change until we commit to change. Amen. You got to hear that. We will not start to change until we commit to change. If we don't really want to change, it simply won't happen. And I'm putting forth some effort. I'm trying. And I'm coming to church, you know. Amen. You know, I'm kind of praying. You know, I pray for my food and before I eat stuff. You know, I show up at the youth fun events. You know, I showed up at the marriage thing on Friday night because I want everybody to know that I still love my husband. You know, that things aren't that bad at home. You know, I come to church. Oh, how's it going? You all right? Any anxiety or anything? All right? Just take it easy, Tom. You're going to be all right. Amen. If you don't really want to change, truly, I'm here to help somebody. I'm not just up here to preach, really. I'm not. I really hope that somebody will receive this tonight. If you don't really want to change, it simply won't happen. We may stop the habit temporarily. You might stop the habit temporarily, or whatever it is that you seek to change temporarily. But it will return without a daily commitment to God and prayerfully changing who we are to who, amen, we want to become in Christ Jesus. I don't know how many times I've missed it. Amen. I don't know how many times, amen, I missed the mark. Amen. By a mile. I've missed it by a mile. I've been through some tough stuff in my life. I've had people approach me and say, I don't even know how you could still be living for God. I looked him in the eye and I said, what choices do I have? God gave me a brain and I know there's a heaven and I know there's a hell and I ain't going to hell and I love God. Amen. I'm not going to hell for anybody. I don't know where you're at, but I know where I am. Amen. I humble myself before a living God, even though I miss it from time to time. There's going to be a shot. There's going to be times I'm going to make it. Thank God. Thank you, God. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your power. Hallelujah. Oh, God, help me, Lord. Amen. But if I want change, I will see change. I heard somebody say, I've struggled with prayer. I've struggled with my prayer life. So I had an idea. I put my boots under my bed. The boots or the shoes that I wore. Amen. Out the door that day, I put them under the bed. Because when I rolled out of bed, I had to reach for my boots. I had to reach for my shoes. Amen. In reaching for my shoes and my boots, I hit my knees. And when I hit my knees, it reminded me, amen, where I should start every day is on my knees before the Lord, humbling myself before God. Say, God, I've missed it so many times before. But one thing I want to get right, God. One thing I want to get right, God. Is God, I want to get that prayer life. I want to get that prayer life right. If I can do one thing, God, help me to make time for you. Help me. We've got to see through faith. We've got to see through eyes of faith. I can't do it without you, God. Amen. I can keep going through the motions and never see results. Or I can take, amen, I can turn my life over to God and make him the center of everything that I do. Amen. We think this is hard, but I'm here to tell the church, this is not hard. We've made up our mind on many other things. We've determined, amen, we have decided. You know, you guys know what that root word, the word decide. Let's just stop for a moment. I have a sermon on that. You know that word decide? You got to look at the last four letters of that word. C-I-D, it means to kill. Because, you know, pesticide, homicide. Do you know what that means when you decide? When you make up your mind, here, somebody needs to get this, because somebody needs to decide. It means when you decide, you are killing off every other option that you know. You're killing off, you're deciding. I'm going to kill the options that I have. Should I go to church or not? Should I go do this or should I go do that? No, I decide to go to church. Amen. I decide to make God's business, amen, the most important business that I have. Amen. I don't care what you do. Amen. But I decided today. Amen. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Amen. You can put whatever's in front of me, but I'm going to get through it. I'm going to get by it. Amen. I may miss it by a mile, but here today, I'm going to make up my mind. I'm going to hit it. I'm going to hit it. I'm going to make it. There's a new year. There's got to be a new you. There must be a mindset. There must be a motion, a notion. There must be an act of faith. We must know that it only begins with God. The scripture declares in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Somebody needs to understand, amen, you've been putting forth a lot of personal effort. You've been doing a lot of this with your own might. You've been doing a lot of this with your own strength. Oh, but you miss it. You've been doing, man, hey, I'm talented. I'm gifted. I can do this. But man, I'm struggling living for God. It's a struggle. Church won't be able to do any business this week. I got all their paper, I think. The secretary, she's over there squirming. No, it's not the 20-pound paper. No, I'm not using up a lot of money here, but I'm gonna make it. God, I gotta make it. It's a new year. It's not by might, it's nor by power, but it's by his spirit. The Bible said, it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. You've got talents. You've got giftings. God's called you. Amen. You've got your own individual abilities. But hear me. You and I cannot do it. We cannot hit the mark. We cannot get it hit the target. We're not going to put it in the basket. Amen. Just on our own abilities alone. There's a new year upon us. We've got to get connected. We've got to get plugged into God. We've got to say, hey, I'm going to put forth the effort. I'm going to do what I can do, and then I'm going to let God do what only he can do. Hallelujah. It's time for somebody to declare the dependence upon God. Some of us struggle too much. Some of us struggle too often, and we haven't found that peace and that sweet spot in serving Jesus. It's because we haven't turned it all over to him. begin to trust him and commit to him with our whole heart. I hope this is okay. I use this analogy, this example before our church, but if I were to make you some wonderful, wonderful, thick, gooey chocolate chip cookies. Our daughter Belinda makes the best cookies. I mean, the best chocolate chip cookies. But if I were to make you, these wonderful chocolate and just put a little spoonful of dog poop in them, it's just, come on. I'm making several dozen at once, but I'm just going to put a little teaspoon of dog poop in it. Come on. What's the problem? It's just a little bit. Just, you see, isn't that the problem in life? We know what God wants, don't we? We know what he expects. He knows he wants all of us, right? He wants total commitment, right? He wants everything. Amen. No, he doesn't want you just to leave a little bit, amen, for the world, a little bit for yourself, amen, a little bit for this and that. No, he says, no, I want all of you. It's hard living for God when you're only given 25%. It's even harder when you're giving God 50%. It's hard living for God when you give 75. What does God want? God wants 100%. He wants us to be on fire for him. Oh, you can't just give a little bit. Not just a little. You got to give everything. You got to give everything to God. Hey, man, it's a new year. There's got to be a new me. There's got to be a new you. Amen. There's got to be. You see, committing to change empowers us to replace the undesirable habit with a more desirable habit. I'm going to pause a minute because this idea didn't come from me. It came from Psychology Today. Committing to change empowers us to replace that undesirable habit with a more desirable habit. You know, someone's in love, they're dating, they break up, and their heart is broken. You know, many times that broken heart, that love that is lost, is never, ever, ever replaced until they fall in love again. That's what Psychology Today says. So when there is a undesirable habit that you and I have, we've got to replace it with a more desirable habit. You and I, we will not remove a bad habit from our lives simply by wishing it away or ignoring it. No, we must simply cast it away. We must not simply cast it away. We need to replace it with a more desirable habit and exchange one love for a greater love. If somebody's looking for salvation tonight, amen, if you don't know Jesus Christ, I'm here to tell you, amen, salvation is a person. Salvation is a person. It's not Brother Meyer. It's not me. Amen. But salvation is Jesus. Jesus said, amen, in John 14, amen, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Salvation begins with Jesus. Salvation is Jesus. Amen. He said, you cannot enter, amen, without coming through me. I am the door to the sheepfold. If salvation goes through Jesus, amen, then doesn't everything good and perfect go through him as well? All comes from him. Somebody tonight, you want to change, transform your life tonight. It begins with Jesus. Oh, you've tried everything else. As the song says, I've tried everything else, and everything else has failed. Well, I'm in the choir. They may not know my lifestyle, but I'm putting forth enough effort, you know. I'm focusing on this or I'm focusing on that. Man, I try. Oh, but and that preacher preached a convicting sermon. I'm gonna try a little bit harder. You see, there's reasons why we don't hit the target. There's reasons why we're not being spiritually successful. It's because we're reserving some things for other things and not giving God all of ourselves. See, there's a new year. There's got to be a new you. We often remain mired in undesirable habits simply because we don't think upon the right things and live intentionally daily. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. We are so distracted. We are so distracted in the world in which we live. There are so many voices, so much music, so much going on all around about us. When we are in the house of God, it's so easy. Amen. It's so easy to do right when we're in the house of God. But when we leave this building, we forget, amen, that we are the church. We forget that we can, amen, take God with us, right? Amen. We forget, amen, that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. A life changed is not only, amen, in this building, but you can change your life and take that changed life with you. You can take it out of these four walls and you can walk the streets or Paris or wherever you're at, and there can be a new you. No matter what year it is, there can be a transformed you tonight when you apply scripture, when you realize that bad habits have met their match. Bad habits are that, they're bad. But when you and I apply Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, those bad habits have to bow down and die once and for all. Someone said the way to break a habit is to replace it with a good one. That's great advice. But when you and I, hear me, but when you and I commit to God and make His word the priority in our lives, it's more than a replacement for that habit, for that desire to be broken. But now it is God working on your behalf. It is God working on my behalf with all that He has at His disposal. You see, when you and I begin to trust God and commit to Him, I've been coming to church for a long time, but I know that I've not really committed everything to Him. See, you can fool your school Sunday school teacher. You can fool Brother Rios, your youth pastor. You can go to hyphen and you can present yourself the best you can, but you can still miss it. You can still miss the target. When are you and I going to begin to trust God with our life? Would somebody just get up, one person, real quick, just stand up. Would you put one of those pieces of paper? Just put it in that garbage here. Just put it in there. Just make up your mind. Are you going to do it? Thank you. That's all I want you to do. Somebody else, some young person, quickly come up here. Quickly, come on, run, both of you, quick. No, put that down. Come up here on the platform. Come over here. Right here, try to make a shot in that garbage can. Man, nice try. Hey, high five, nice try. It's awesome. Go sit down. I'm going to use you again later. Okay, right here. Try to put it in that garbage can. Come on. Try though. Good job. You kind of feel bad for him, don't you? You know. But how many of us have lived this way, right? We've tried. We failed. You know, we put forth. I mean, he had to stretch a little bit, you know. Get out the kinks a little bit. You know, I made it a little bit harder for him. Backed him up a little bit. But how many of us spiritually have been here? Somebody else. I need somebody else from the pew, real quick. This little fellow right here. Just pick one of those up. Just put it in the garbage case. I know this may not be the greatest example or analogy, but you know what? I want everybody here to know that God did equip you. God has given all of us every tool to be able to make it every time. He said, though, he'd rather us be hot or cold. He doesn't want lukewarmness, right? I mean, we don't want a spoonful of, just a little bit of spoonful of that stuff in our cookie, in our cookies, right? Right? I mean, I want it to be pure. I want my whole life to be right. I want my whole life to be pure. I want to remind somebody tonight that you're never alone. You see, when we're in Christ, we are never alone. Not only did God promise that he would never leave you nor forsake you, but we've got the family of God. Aren't you thankful tonight for the family of God? Not only is God on our side, but we've got the family of God on our side. The church. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9 and 10 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. I'm thankful tonight. I'm grateful for the church today. You and I are never alone. Amen. The devil, the first thing the devil's going to want, amen, you to do is to isolate yourself. For you to become an island to yourself. To make you think that you're all alone. Amen. To make you think, hear me somebody, to make you think that you're the only person that's shooting and missing. Oh no, but I made it. I'm just so good at it. I want you to look around. I want you to look around. Look at the family of God. Look at the people that God had brought into your life. You're never alone. You are never, none of us are ever alone. We've got one another. The Bible says two are better than one. Why is that? Because if you fall, the Bible says that person, amen, will lift you up. Amen. You are not alone when you falleth, for he hath not. Amen. But because you have someone there to help you. The scriptures tell us iron sharpeneth iron. We can lean on one another as we seek to be like Christ and move forward in becoming all that he wants us to be. What are you going to do tonight? I know some of you are just like me. Man, you shoot and miss. You shoot and miss a lot. You know what? You're still here. I'm amazed that David, the character David in the Bible, God has given us a couple examples in scripture that the Bible, God said that David is the apple of my eye. That David, that he was not just an adulterer, but he was a murderer. He was a nasty fella at times. But God saw something in David. Right? He was the giant killer, right? Amen. He killed the giant. He killed the giant. Who's laughing? Who's laughed? Who laughed? Who was it? Who was it? Can you come up here and give it a shot? Come on. See, yeah, you gotta be careful. Yeah. You laughed. Come on, right up here. Come on. She's still laughing. Maybe she's this secret basketball player. I don't know. Oh, you want to shoot? No, no. You got to shoot it from up here. Yeah. Let me help you up. Okay. Oh, here's. I want y'all to know what she just said. I'm carrying a baby. Okay, so. Oh, see? Yes. Hang on. Let's see if your daughter can do it. Let's see. Throw it in the garbage can. Oh, good try. Awesome try. We having fun tonight? I'm hoping to say something that'll help encourage you, to strengthen you, to realize that we may shoot and miss many times. Amen. But if we put the right things together, if we keep trying, right? If we keep moving forward, it's always too early to quit. Amen. God's given you talents. He's given you abilities. But within those abilities and talents, amen, does not lie the secret to success. Amen. For your success and my success is for you and I to get plugged into Christ. It's for you and I to make His business our business. To wake up in the morning and say, okay, God, I am a person of purpose. God, I'm looking at a new year. Amen. January 1st has come and gone. January 12th is already gone. It is January 27th. I may have failed 10 or 15 or 20 times already, but today is a new day. Amen. My God says His mercies are new every day. Amen. It's not how fast you're going. It's not in, amen, how great you are. The Bible said in your weakness, He is made strong. It doesn't matter that tonight how many times, amen, and you've shot and missed. I'm here to tell somebody, if you put your faith and your trust in God, amen, God is the difference maker. God makes up the difference. Hallelujah. We got to be thankful today. I'm almost done. I'll give you hope if the musicians would come. Be thankful today for the body of Christ. Staying positive and filled with faith is a daily mindset, a commitment that we need to make to God. Hear me, listen to this. Take your finger, point at yourself. Did you know that you are the greatest project you will ever get to work on in this life? You are the greatest project. I want somebody to know it doesn't matter how many times that you shot and missed. I want you to know that. If you would display my failures on the wall, I think it would fill all four of these walls, all the failures that I've made. All the times I've gone to the altar and wept. How many times I said, can I just say this? How many times I said, man, Phil, that was stupid. What were you thinking? Thinking you blew it. You've been born and raised in this. How many sermons have you heard? How many times is God gonna have to show you His mercy and His grace? How many times? When are you gonna get it? When are you gonna figure it out? I don't know how many times I've looked at the front side of a new year. I'm not as old as some of you. I was born in 1970. I don't know how many times. When I turned 18, I went off to Bible school. I was still making mistakes. I was still tripping over my own feet. I was still feeling guilt and condemnation. I was still shaking my head. I was still wondering. But the difference between me and the other guy is that I never lost my faith in God's mercy. I never gave up on His word. I took God for face value. When He said He loved me, I believed that He loved me. When He said, if you confess your sins, that He'll forgive me, that I confess my sins, and I'd get up from an altar, I'd get up from a closet of prayer, and I'd say, okay, God, I messed up, but I'm not going to look back. I'm going to look forward. I'm going to look to another year. Amen. I'm going to look to God, Your grace. I'm going to look to Your mercy. Hear me, somebody. I know that we've heard many, many, many probably definitions of the word grace. The most notable one that is grace, the unmerited favor of God. The unmerited favor. And that's true. My dad came up with one, and I've been hearing it my whole life. My dad's definition of grace is this: the God-given ability and power to accomplish His will in your life. The God-given ability and power to accomplish His will in your life. What some of us need to understand is that God is for us. He's not against us. God is for you. Amen. God is not lurking around the corner with a baseball bat when you make a mistake to bash you over the head. I like what Brother Meyer did this morning. If you were not here, you missed it. Amen. He was given that example of a mother and a baby. When a mother would put their baby down and the mother would say, come here, come to mama. Amen. And the baby would make its way over to a loving mother. Amen. That's exactly the kind of God that we have. Even when we're deep in our muck, in our mind, even when we're deep in our own sins and disparity, God says, come here, son and daughter, come here. I want to love you. I want you to know my mercy. I want you to know there's a new year and there can be a new you. Hear me, don't give up. You shot many times. You threw it and you missed it, but that's okay. That's okay. You're the greatest project that you'll ever get a chance to work on. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, stand with me. It says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Don't throw in the towel, somebody, don't. You may be here and you said, okay, I'm giving God one more chance. Giving God just one more chance. Giving God one more chance. Okay, I get it. Lamentations chapter 3, 22 and 23, it says, it is of the Lord's mercies. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Catch this. Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, the Bible says, great is thy faithfulness. I think everyone here tonight under the sound of my voice, you want there to be a better version of who you are. Today we can do that by making a forever commitment to God, to trust him, to believe his word and do what we can do and let God do what we cannot. Once every man and nation comes a moment to decide in the strife of truth or falsehood for the good or evil side. But to every man there openeth a highway and a low, and every man decideth which way his soul should go. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Somebody needs tonight all those chances, all those shots, all those missed opportunities. Someone needs to replace some of your loves in your life tonight. You need to replace that love with a greater love. Is there a man tonight? Is there a woman? Is there a couple that you want to change something about who you are? Doesn't matter how old you are, it's never too late. Doesn't matter how young you are, it's never too early to begin. It's never wrong to do the right thing. God's got some of you right where he wants you. And tonight it's a pivotal moment. You're at the fork of the road. You know his mercies. You've tasted his love. But there needs to be a new you. There needs to be someone here tonight that'll step out from where they're at and say, okay, God, I've given you this much, but I want to give you all of me. God, I don't want to hold back. I want to change. I'm almost ready to give an altar call, but hear me. If you want to change tonight, then you need to start where you're at. You need to start with fear. Start with doubt. Start with hands even shaking. Start with your voice trembling. But start. Start and don't stop. Start where you are with what you have. But somebody just needs to start. Somebody just needs to make that step. Take that step of faith tonight. So this is how I'm going to clean up the church. Those of you that really want to make that change, would you come? Would you grab a piece of paper and put it in that garbage can? Make this the symbol of whatever it is that you want to change. Put that piece of paper in that target spot and say, God, this is what I'm going to do, God. I'm going to begin afresh. I'm going to begin anew. I'm going to bring myself to an altar of repentance. I'm going to bring myself to an altar of change and transformation. God, I'm going to keep going even though I failed. I'm going to keep going though I've even missed the mark time and time again. Somebody tonight needs to take that step of change, needs to take that step of faith. Somebody needs to make God's business their business. Somebody tonight needs to do what you can do so that God can do the rest. What is it? I didn't name things particularly tonight for a purpose, for a reason. Only you know what you need to change tonight. Is it your faith in God? Is it a sin that you're holding on to? Is it the lack of commitment? Amen. Should you be involved in a ministry? Should you tell somebody you forgive them? Should you apologize? Should you begin to commit financially to God? What is it? Only you know what you need to change. There's a new year, new you. It's going to happen tonight. Hit the mark tonight as they sing.